Oh, it's good to be home. Vacation was nice. It was great being in Atlanta, hanging out with Michael Morris and Alex Autry. And there was somebody else I was hanging out with too. I can't remember.
Him.
Okay, Kev.
Him.
Hey, Kev, what's up?
Sorry. Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, just talking about my
forget something.
Wait, yeah, it was all that delicious soda from Rocket Fizz. And especially that Wink Martindale. That guy had some soda, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wait. It was the lovely Kathy and Camille opening up their home to me and.
No love at all.
It was that special moment I had with your Kelly Kapowski doll.
Now it's just getting weird.
No, of course it was a special thank you to, once again, Mr. Kevin Reitzel for putting up with me for a few days in the Raider Nerd Cave in Atlanta.
That was a lot of fun, man. It was good to have you up here. We had fun.
Yeah, and Aaron, just for the record, the bromance is still going. It will never die.
And just so you know, the Kelly Kapowski doll is still in its box.
So you think. So what's been going on since I left Atlanta, Kevin?
Oh, geez. Well, we're kind of getting ready for MomoCon coming up soon. Camille wants to do an original costume that a friend of hers kind of did, kind of a little, yeah, let's just say Camille's starting to go through her goth phase. Not yet, but there's a costume she does that kind of has a gothy Japanese, you know, look to it. So I'm trying to put it together as best as can while working on a new costume for myself, which, you know, we touched on the last time we recorded the show. And, you know, MomoCon's more about for Camille, but I will be volunteering there for the 501st. And then we have plans on the Friday night to go see Solo.
Yeah, but before that, isn't there Merc with a Mouth that we have to go check out?
That's right. Yeah, Deadpool, man, opening up a couple days as of this recording. I'm excited.
No, there is something I do have an issue with before we really get into the show, though, Kevin. Did you happen catch what Michael Morris said on Facebook today?
Yeah. Are you talking about a little event he went to last night?
Yeah. Where's the hookup?
Yeah, dude went to a press screening of Solo here in the Atlanta area, man.
I mean, you would think if nothing else, he would invite his fellow co-host hack, Alex Autry, to go with him. I mean, come on now.
Yeah. I'm happy for him, though. He seems very excited about it. I said, dude, no spoilers. Don't say anything.
Yeah, I'm a little upset.
He was good on his word. He says it was a very fun and enjoyable film.
Yeah, I am a little upset about that Disney is lifting the embargo on Solo reviews as of the 15th, which is today.
Yeah, there's some people saying online that there's more room for spoilers to come out before we get to see it. And let me ask you, when do you think they should lift that? Like as soon as it comes out?
I think the day before is fine because, you know, you have people who might be looking to say who base their things off reviews. But the day before it comes off, you can realize you can stay off social media. Asking people to avoid spoilers for 10 days.
Yeah, that is tough. I'm going to try, though. I mean, I'm going to do my best to not do anything. So,
yeah, I want to try to go in as fresh as possible.
Yeah, you know, but I mean, they're watching the red. Did you watch the red carpet premiere?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch that. I was still on vacation.
That was pretty interesting. It was nice to see actually some friends from the Georgia 501st get invited, and they were part of the red carpet premiere. And I saw some great pictures and selfies with some of the stars, and it was nice to see just the whole cast there. George Lucas was there. Billy Dee Williams was there. Of course, you know, like it was just awesome. I mean, it was really cool. They had that huge mock-up of the Millennium Falcon there on the red carpet. It was awesome. You know,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, speaking real quick of George Lucas, I keep meaning to ask you, have you watched this new show on AMC, the James Cameron History of Science Fiction?
Mm-mm, no,
it's very interesting. I think episode 3 came out Monday night. night. The first episode was about aliens. The second episode was about outer space. I believe last night's episode was about monsters. But the talent he's pulled in to interview for these shows is amazing. Ridley Scott, George Lucas, Zoe Saldana, Sigourney Weaver, some amazing science fiction writers, professors from different colleges, people from NASA. It's quite interesting. If you can access it on demand, definitely check it out.
Okay, very cool.
So, well, with that, we do have some things to talk about that have happened in the world of fandom since the last time we put out a Culture Clash. So, Kevin, without further ado, let's talk some fandom and let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
So, of course, this is Culture Clash 86, and we're recording on 5/15/18. And of course,
you know what it is? You know what it is? It's the Maxwell Smart Edition.
But in truth, neither of us are that smart. So,
or that maybe that old to know that reference, Agent 86.
Exactly. So, of course, this is Culture Clash, your home for all the latest in fandom news, reviews, and what other crazy stuff we can come up with. And we're glad to have you here. But before we get into those news and reviews, let's take care of a little business, if we shall, Kevin.
All right. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on its master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The FPNet is also on the Podbean app. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. Facebook, you can also find us there at Fandom Podcast Network. Go ahead and give us a like over there and check out what's happening there. You can also email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com and on Instagram, Fandom Podcast Network, and also on Twitter at FanPod Network. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Kyle, where can they find you?
On Twitter, you can find me at AKyleW. Depressed Vacation is over. And on Instagram, you can find me at AKyleFandom.
Nice. Also, TeePublic. Support us there. Head on over to TeePublic, search Fandom Podcast Network, and you'll find some awesome designs for all of our major shows there. And any purchases you do there through that will help us out and support our show. And also on iTunes, head over to iTunes, search Fandom Podcast Network, and give us a nice review over there. Let us know how we're doing. If you like what you're hearing on Culture Clash, let us know there as well.
Yeah, and, you know, whether it's a 5-star review or a 1-star review, and we will read a 1-star review on the air.
Yes, yes. Now, I didn't really prep this before we talked before, but we did get a nice little message through the Fandom Podcast Network. I know you probably saw that as well, from Jason Smith.
Yes, I did see that.
And I was wondering if I could read it, because it touched on last week's episode when we were talking about the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. And we were speculating on what was going to happen there and what they were going to have there. And I thought, if you don't mind, I'd like to read that message that he sent us.
Go for it.
Says, hey, this is Jason Smith. Hey, guys, been listening to your podcast for a while. Heard you guys talk about Star Wars Galaxy Edge and thought I'd help share some of the information I have with you. I work for the fire department that covers Disney World, and I'm a big Star Wars fan, so I'm following it closely. Two big attractions are the Millennium Falcon ride, a kind of prisoner escape type ride. The whole land is set in the post-Force Awakens timeline, but there will be callbacks to the old films. The park will be very interactive with in-costume characters and other things like monitors reacting to how well you did or you didn't do on the rides. You have to have a magic band for that to happen, of course, as well as a kind of Jedi path similar to what Universal has with the Harry Potter land, where if you do certain motions in certain spots, some sort of special effects happens. There is a cantina, and there will be a life-size display of swings and other vehicles. The big thing, though, is the hotel. That's a fully immersive experience. Basically, you live in the Star Wars universe while you are in the hotel. Stuff coming out about sounds crazy, but also exciting. Anyways, keep up the great work. I listen every week. Thank you so much, Jason. I really appreciate the feedback. So that's very insightful.
Yeah, no, and I had known about the hotel, and I know that's going to be quite the thing, and I am sure that thing is going to be booked solid for at least a year as soon as booking starts. So
I'm sure too. Yeah. Well, I appreciate Jason sending us a message and his little insight there, because he works for the fire department and they have to make sure everything's up to code.
Yeah, exactly. Because we don't want any more fires at Disney, like a certain dragon.
Yeah, I heard about that.
but before we get into any more trouble with the mouse, Kevin, can you feel it in the air?
I do. I can say, let's news.
Let's news.
Well, our top story for Let's News this week is a little sad. It broke yesterday. Margot Kidder passed away. And for those of you who may not be familiar, of course, she was most famous for playing Lois Lane in the Christopher Reeve Superman films, Kevin.
Yeah. Wow. It was a little bit of a wake-up call for me because I realized something. I don't remember the last time I saw the original Superman. It was years ago, and I'm willing to say it was probably over 30 years ago.
Wow.
The film came out in 78. I know I went with a family to go see it. I think it probably saw it on television or video sometime after that. But, yeah, I never jumped on and bought it. Back in the day, I never ended up rewatching it on VHS that I can remember. I'm not sure why, but about 6 months ago, I found Superman and Superman 2, you know, on the cheap Blu-ray racks at like Walmart or something. And, you know, there's been a lot of nostalgia with Superman recently, of course, with all of the, you know, DC, you know, Superman versus Batman and Justice League. And I know Norm is a huge fan of the original one, and I think it's his favorite superhero film still to date. And of course, the soundtrack is legendary. So I picked up those Blu-rays wanting to rewatch them. And Superman 2 was the Richard Donner director's edition, too, which I was told that you should watch that one. So they've been kind of sitting around. I haven't gotten around to watching it. But after Margot Kidder passed away, I was like, oh my God, now I got to watch this thing. And I just finished watching it, and I just forgot how fun that movie is.
Yeah. I have to admit, I think I've always been a little bit more a fan of Superman 2 than I was the original Superman film.
Can I ask you why that is? Because I've heard that before.
I think for me, it's just I love the inclusion of the Kryptonian villains. I think it gave a little more to the film and gave Superman and a little more to do and a little bit more of his powers as he was fighting a bad guy, per se. I mean, yes, he had Lex Luthor in the first film, but there was really nothing there for him to fight. Now, I think the first film has some of the most amazing cinematography and moments in Superman movie history. But I think as far as like being a comic book film, I think the second one feels more of a true comic book film than the first one does.
Interesting. I have no memory of the second one right now. I have to watch that one. A couple things that I took away, I was watching the special features of the first one, and they said that apparently they were planning on doing two straight off the bat, and they were filming parts of two while they were doing one, which I thought was fascinating. And, you know, they had assistant directors filming other scenes here while Richard Donner was doing this over there. But then they were starting to run out of money, I guess, for the budgeting, and they had to get Superman, the first film, done. In time for their December of 1978 release, so I thought that was fascinating. And then eventually they did two. And let me ask you about two. Apparently there was the original theatrical version, but then they have this director's version, which is a lot better, some fans say. What's your take?
You know, to be honest with you, I haven't watched the Donner cut, and it's actually been a while since I've watched any of the Christopher Reeve Superman films. We all kind of tend to ignore 3 and 4. So
right. Yeah, I never did see 3 and 4. So, you know, losing Margot Kidder, you know, and watching this first film, she was just so adorable in that film.
Yeah, you know, I think for me, one of the things that kind of stood out for me with Margot Kidder was I think she very much hit the Lois Lane attitude.
Right.
But maybe one of the things for me, and again, this just might be personal preference, was I always thought Margot Kidder was attractive, but there was something about her that just looks wise didn't quite feel like Lois Lane to me. And I can't, something I can't put my finger on, and it's not a knock on her in any way, because I do think she was great in the role, especially because I think she did have that tenacious Lois Lane attitude.
Right.
And I really thought she brought that home.
I used to watch the original black and white television series with George Reeves, because it was in syndication the whole time. So in a way, that was my first Superman, watching that on a black and white television. And I thought it was really cool that the original Lois Lane from that TV series played the mother of the Margot Kidder Lois Lane, even though it was the kid version of Lois Lane when they were on the train and they see the young Clark Kent running faster than the train. I thought that was a really cool shout out. I'm like, oh my God, that's her.
Yeah. Now, you know what I find kind of interesting too, because let me ask you this, because we've had so many different people now playing Superman. I think for me, Christopher Reeve is still Superman. I have to say though, and I look at all the people that have played Superman over the years, I don't think Henry Cavill has gotten a fair shake, and that's for other reasons that are beyond his control. But I also thought Brandon Routh was actually decent as Superman in Superman Returns. And again, that's one of those things where I don't think there's been anybody that's really been able to write and get a really good handle on Superman in a film.
I that's because, you know, after doing my rewatch here of the first film, you know, he set the bar so high, you know, and he made him likable and cheerful, you know, and he made him just fun, where you get the kind of dark Superman with Henry Cavill, and then you get kind of the, not dark, but there's definitely, you know, there was something going on with him and Lois Lane, and there wasn't, and he came back. So yeah, it's interesting. The special features for this film are very cool, and they had Christopher Reeve after his accident still doing interviews for the special features, and they also had Margot Kidder too. So I think these were done probably within like the when did Christopher Reeve finally pass away after
was
that?
Smallville was still going. I think it was during like about the middle of the Smallville run, so maybe late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah, I guess these interviews were done probably around 2000s. I'm not sure, but definitely worth picking up. You know, I don't think anyone's captured with what Christopher has done, because he set the bar so high.
Well, I think both of them set the bar so high, and it's just been very hard to match it. But big loss for fandom, I think. Hopefully a lot of people are going out there and rewatching those films and maybe getting a new introduction to those films as well for a new generation.
Now, I just thought we would tease what's going to be happening towards the end of the show, because it's so big.
Okay, yeah, go ahead and tease away.
Well, of course, Avengers Infinity War, we're all really, really excited about it, and we've seen it multiple times. Have you seen it again since you saw it for the third time?
I have not had
you up here.
I have honestly not had a chance. I came back from vacation, had some things to take care of, and it's been back to work and you know, kind of getting ready for Deadpool and Solo now.
Well, as we had teased that we are going to be doing at the end of this show, we're going to talk about and rank are all of those 19 films, which does include the new Avengers Infinity War, from our favorite down to our least favorite. And we're going to, what's the criteria we're going to have here? We're going to do enjoyment of the film, the rewatchability of the film. And this was your idea, and I love this idea, the significance to the MCU as a whole.
Yep. So stay tuned for that. We will be getting to that soon. But Kevin, we got a little bit more news to discuss, and I'm very interested on your take on this next piece of news. And I've got a little take on this as well. Of course, we know the live-action Star Wars series is coming to the Disney streaming service, and that Jon Favreau is set to direct and be in charge of this. Well, he has gone on to announce that it looks like this TV series will take place approximately 7 years after the end of Return of the Jedi. Now, Kevin, before I get to your take here real quick, I want to see if you agree with me on this. I'm not sure how I feel about this yet, especially after everything we've discussed the last few weeks. But this kind of confirms something to me with Disney that I'm, and with the way Star Wars is going, it's almost like outside of obviously doing Solo and Rogue One and might come there, but it's almost like if it's anything major now going forward, it's like, no, we can only do stuff after Return of the Jedi. We're not going back in time as much anymore. And I was really kind of hoping maybe that this series would be a little bit farther back in time or in a totally different era than, you know, maybe some Old Republic or something like that. And I'm just kind of getting worried that they're putting all this focus on newest trilogy going forward. And I think this confirms it to me even a little more. What are your thoughts on this, Kevin?
Well, first thing I wanted to mention was when I was seeing all this news on Facebook, that's how we get a lot of news nowadays, of course, regarding especially Star Wars and a lot of, fandom news. I did see someone say that, and I don't know if this is true or not, that it wasn't 7 years, it might be even 3 years. So most of the links I'm seeing say seven, so I'm going to go with that for now, but I did see someone mention three. As for your question, I think what they're trying to do is kind of what first of all, I was kind of hoping the live action would be like, you know, back in the old Jedi Knights.
Republic days.
Yeah, Old Republic days. That's what I was hoping. Fans have been wanting that for a long time. But, you know, what they're trying to do is fill the gap between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, because there's with the new storytelling, there's so much to be told. And it's kind of similar to when Heir to the Empire came out with the Thrawn books. They wanted to know what happened after Return of the Jedi. And so most of the stories take place after that because they wanted to fill up that time and they wanted to see the characters age and develop and bring in new characters and what happens after the fall of what's supposed to be the biggest empire of the galaxy. What other new threats are there going to be? So it's just basically the resetting again and doing what, you know, Legends, now known as Legends, was doing back in those days, back in the late 90s and up to the 2000s. So they want to develop and enrich that time and show you what happens, you know, the development of the First Order and, what happens with, if there is mention of Luke, Han, and Leia, what happens and how, you know, the effect of what happens to the fall of the Emperor and stuff like that. So they're just retelling it in their new story moving forward.
Yeah, but one of the things I'm kind of concerned about is we're getting an awful lot from this timeline. Obviously, we are getting this TV series. We have the animated series that's coming. We've also had all the Aftermath books now. I'm curious, where do you fall on this for yourself personally, Kevin, as far as what you know with your confession and everything like that?
Right now, my feelings are very mixed, to be honest with you.
You're curious about it, but now you're hesitant about it.
Yeah, it's, I made myself, my point very clear about what happens from The Force Awakens on. This takes place before The Force Awakens. So to me, it's a wait and see. I because of where Legends took after Return of the Jedi, which is what I like, and I talked about that extensively. But I'm going to give it a chance. I'm curious and I'll watch it. And just like any new Star Wars property, I'm still going to watch it and enjoy it. Try to enjoy it for what it is. But right now I'm more excited about Solo.
Yeah, exactly. But speaking of TV shows, there was kind of a bloodbath on the television side of things and cancellations on the last week there, Mr. Reitzel.
Yeah, I have to tell you, though, none of these really affected me.
Yeah. Still, Fox was a main candidate that canceled. They canceled about 13 shows altogether, but a lot of it was some of their comedies. And a big reason for that was, of course, Fox paid buku bucks to get the Thursday night NFL package this year. And they're really putting their program around that, and they canceled a bunch, especially of their comedies. And one of the big cancellations was actually their show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which had a very devout following. However, that show was saved by NBC picking it up and is going to continue that show now, which really doesn't surprise me considering who the main lead is in that.
Right. Yeah. Of course, Andy was on Saturday Night Live, which is, of course, on NBC. That was the one show that I actually was watching up until the last season or so. I was enjoying it. And then I just stopped. I was like, yeah, you know. But I did enjoy it. And I think it was a well-written show with a really funny, talented cast. So, you know, it's already had a few seasons in. I think it was on its fourth, I think.
Yeah, it's got kind of a cult following. But some other shows that got canceled included Lucifer, also on Fox. I know there was a strong fandom for that show. Quantico on ABC. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it was the show that Kiefer Sutherland was doing on ABC where he was...
Yeah, the one that was like Next in Command.
Something along those lines. Yeah. Both of the Marine shows that came out this past year, one was on NBC, and then there were The Brave, and I can't remember the other one, but David Boreanaz was in it. Both of those have been canceled.
Oh, the SEAL team?
The SEAL teams ones. Yeah, those were both canceled. And the heartbreaker for, of course, myself and I know for Norman as well, was Sci-Fi announced that they were canceling The Expanse at the end of the season, which is just a heartbreaking shame. That shows.
Why did I have trouble getting through the first two episodes of that?
Because one thing with The Expanse, and I'll be the first one to say it, is it takes about getting into about the fourth episode before you really start getting a full feel for the show.
I meant to get back into it. I did. Because you guys spoke highly of it and it looked great. I just had trouble getting into it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to give it a chance because I heard what you said. But now I'm like, I don't want to now.
Yeah, well, no, I can understand that. I mean, the rumors are that this could very easily be picked up by Amazon. And part of the reason why it was canceled off the Sci-Fi Network is apparently due to the way the contract was for the television show on Sci-Fi, where Sci-Fi was not seeing any profits from any reruns. They were only getting the initial first broadcast money, which wasn't a great contract for Sci-Fi. There's a lot of talk that Amazon or Netflix might pick this up. I would hope so. This is some of the smartest sci-fi being written right now, so I would like to see that continue.
Interesting. I had a note not on a canceled show, but on a returning show after you talk about the rest of the canceled here.
Okay. Well, I was going to talk about some returning shows. We've got some shows that are returning, but under certain circumstances. Fox is renewing Gotham. However, they have said this will be the fifth and final season of Gotham.
How do you feel about that? I don't watch the show, so I'm just curious.
You know, I know a lot of people who watch it. I know it's been kind of a mixed bag for a lot of people. But I'm support anything that brings fandom to television, and it's something I want to give Gotham more of a chance and get back into it and see, because there's some actors in it I really like, but I'm kind of indifferent at this point. The one I am excited about, the announced renewal of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which a lot of people thought was going to get canceled. However, the caveat to that is it's only going to be a 13-episode sixth season as it stands right now, and we will not see new episodes until sometime in 2019. And then a couple other streaming shows. Netflix has officially announced that their hit Lost in Space will get a second season. And, of course, YouTube sensation Cobra Kai has been officially renewed for a second season.
Oh, can we tease our Cobra Kai special?
Yes, please, go for it, Kevin.
It's coming up. But we're as of tomorrow after this recording, we're going to be sitting down with yourself and Norm. We're going to be doing a special on Cobra Kai, looking back on the first season. It's going to be very spoilerific. So if you have seen it, please jump in there. But it's just a show that we've just loved and fallen into. I know that when you were here, we watched the first two free ones and we went and watched the rest on our own. Such a good show. Yeah. So happy but that it got renewed.
Kevin, you can't be on the show if you don't know about Guns N' Roses.
This is true. Yeah, you got to know about Guns N' Roses. And I know about Guns N' Roses, trust me.
And there's one other show I want to talk about real quick, Kevin, and this might have been what you wanted to bring up. Normally we talk about, we'll go into this a little bit more on, of course, our sister show, Discoville, but The Orville is getting pushed back for its premiere till like December 31st.
It was like December 30th, I think. And I think what they're going to do, what I remember the article saying was, it's weird that they're waiting till like the last like few days of December to do this, but there is a Sunday night double feature. A Sunday night Sunday night Fox football double feature, I think. And then they're going to premiere the first episode after that, whenever the last game ends or something. I can't remember.
It might be like the end of Wild Card Weekend, I'm thinking, maybe.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah, that's right. Maybe that's it. And then it's going to return to its Thursday night spot. So I just hope, though, that I was talking to Norm about this the other night. I hope that they repeat that first episode, like maybe the week, like, because they did that last time. They repeated that first episode, I think, like before the regular Thursday night time slot, whether it was that Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. It's just because, you know, when you try to set your DVR to record it, but I'm just going to go ahead and buy it on iTunes. Yep,
exactly. So, well, now normally would be the time where you'd be hearing things such as buy it, stream it, or unsee it.
Hold on. I had that one thing I wanted to talk about.
That's right. I'm sorry.
I'm putting a show on notice. You know when I put stuff on notice, what that means?
It means you're done with it, or you're about to be done with it.
Yes. And it bothers me to say this because of how fantastic the first season was. I'm putting Handmaid's Tale on notice right now.
To be honest with you, I have not watched anything of Handmaid's Tale.
And there's a reason for it. It's not that it's not a good show. It's what's been happening with one of the reasons I've had a problem with The Walking Dead the last few seasons. Has nothing to do with the character development flaws that Walking Dead, that they keep doing the same stupid stuff over and over again, is that it's so darn depressing.
Kevin likes happy things only.
I like to see something happen to where the main character has some hope. And after the second episode or so, there was some hope of something happening, and then stuff just pile of crap just comes right back on them. And it is tough to watch. It's depressing. And I'm hoping that it's not like that for the rest of the season. I'm going to watch a couple more episodes, and if it's still the same, I got to give it up because I want to be entertained. You know, I don't mind a good dark drama, but I need to see some hope in these characters.
I think you might not be watching that show for much longer.
Yeah, we'll see. Yes.
Okay. Now, as I was saying, normally it would be the time where you would hear buy it, stream it, or unsee it, or perhaps Kevin's Video Vault. But yes. No, not this week. In fact, I think it's safe to say, Kevin, you're a little amalgamation of the Magic 8-Ball and the Infinity Gauntlet down in the basement has produced this.
That's right. Yes. And I've got the Magic 8-Ball in front of me, but there's more than eight now.
Yeah. So what Kevin and I are doing is kind of maybe the end of we did our countdown to Infinity War, then we did our Infinity War special. So this is the end of the Infinity War trilogy of major things. And with a little announcement that we had last week, which we'll remind you of at the end of this segment, but Kevin and I are doing our official ranking of the Marvel Cinematic films. And again, the criteria is as follows for each of us. The enjoyment of the film, how rewatchable the film is, and as I had brought up to Kevin, its significance to the MCU storyline as a whole.
Can I throw in a little caveat there?
Uh-huh.
I love that idea. That was great. The significance to the MCU. But keep in mind, Kyle is more entrenched into the MCU universe than I am, more specifically because of your knowledge of the comic books, which is why I love doing this show with you, because I know if I have a comic book question, I can come to you. But I'm coming at it also from just the movie aspect of it, from watching the movies. So I may not remember or get every single Easter egg with the MCU. So my list, I did rework it a little bit because of that, but mostly mine falls under the top two reasons, which is enjoyment of the film and the rewatchability of the film.
Yeah, and for me, I tried to keep the comics separated from this list. I tried to just think of it as that universe as a whole. And you know, there are certain things up there. If it hit two out of the three, it depended on the weight of those two out of the three for me. So it is a weighted system of those three things. So without further ado, let's get to our list, Kevin.
Well, I brought this up to you before we started the show. Instead of us doing a parallel where like we each – okay, so there's 19 films total here. instead of us both picking our 19 and then going to the 18, because our differences are quite different, it might be confusing to the listener to kind of keep track. So I figure that one of us will do their list first and then the other one will do the afterwards.
Well, I think there's only one appropriate way to decide who goes first, Kevin.
Oh, and what's that?
I think a little paper, rock, scissors is in order.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So Kevin and I can see each other on video chat. So bear with us for one moment. One.
Okay, wait, hold on. You got to count it down. Count it down.
Okay. Three, two, one. Paper, rock, scissors. Paper wins. So Kevin gets the choice. Is he going first or is he bringing up the rear?
You're going first.
Okay. So I'm going to start in reverse order from 19 to 1. So 19 being the lowest on my list. So coming in, bringing up the rear of the MCU movies is The Incredible Hulk, followed thereafter by Iron Man 3.
Oh, you suck. You suck. I don't like you anymore.
Okay, so one of the things about this list, too, is we do have the right to call and question on why we have something on our list where we're at. So would you like...
Okay, you know, I'm gonna wait, though, because I want you to finish your list first.
Okay. Coming in at 17 is Thor the Dark World.
God, I can't believe you put... Okay, sorry, go ahead.
There is a reason for that, and I will explain.
Okay.
Coming in at number 16 is Iron Man 2.
I can hear Michael going, "No, you suck, you hack."
Yeah, well, you know. At number 15, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. 14, Doctor Strange. 13, Avengers Age of Ultron. 12, the original Thor film. At 11, Captain America, the First Avenger. And then rounding out the top 10, at number 10, we have Ant-Man. At number 9, Captain America Civil War. At number 8, Iron Man. At number 7, Spider-Man Homecoming. At number 6, Thor Ragnarok. At number 5, the original Avengers. Number 4, Avengers Infinity War. Number 3, Guardians of the Galaxy. Number 2, Black Panther. And my number 1, Captain America the Winter Soldier.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So that Avengers Infinity War would have been a little bit higher.
Well, fire away with your questions there, Mr. Reitzel.
Let's start with the obvious. One of my favorite films, Iron Man 3. You have it 18, even below Dark World. Why?
Well, as far as why it's below Dark World is I don't feel like Iron Man 3 contributed a lot to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where Thor the Dark World did bring us one of the Infinity Stones.
Okay, so that's how you're basing that on.
That's how I'm basing it on.
Okay.
I was not a big fan of Iron Man 3. I get why people enjoyed it, on the other hand. And to be truthful, let's get this clear out of the way. I love all the Marvel films. There's not anything that there's none of these I hate. Let me put it that way. Some are more enjoyable than others.
I will agree with that.
With Iron Man 3, there were some things that kind of irked me about it. The whole issue with the Mandarin, I didn't really care for.
Mm-hmm, right.
I was a little frustrated with how they portrayed the main suit of armor as almost like a comedic thing in the movie. And, you know, it didn't feel like an Iron Man movie. It was a Tony Stark film. And I know that's where a lot of people actually liked about Iron Man 3 was the character development of Tony Stark. And I will be first one to jump on that bandwagon and say absolutely for sure. But I just think as a whole in its piece in place inside the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it puts it in the lower end.
Okay, question for you. I want to question where you have Captain America, the First Avenger. You have it just out of your top 10. Explain that.
I looked at what was in my top 10, and I love Captain America, the First Avenger, but I didn't see it breaking through anything in my top 10. Anything I would have put out of the top 10 didn't feel right to me. Mm-hmm. And I think the same with the original Thor. I think those two films are almost interchangeable wherever you put them. I think they're kind of on the same level. I prefer Captain America, the First Avenger a little more because I think it's a slightly better film. But the thing is for me with both of those films' place in history, they really helped establish that phase one.
Okay. All right. I want to talk about your number 7, Spider-Man Homecoming. you had been speaking very highly of this movie, and I think you've actually said that it was going to be in your top five, maybe even top three at one point of all the conversations we have. I'm surprised it dropped down to 7.
Well, the last time we really talked about that, both Black Panther and Infinity War came out. And I did a rewatch recently of Spider-Man Homecoming, and I still thoroughly enjoy the film, but I can see where it might not have long-lasting rewatchability compared to some of these other films.
Okay.
But
fair enough.
I think the big thing about Spider-Man Homecoming and why it's in my top 10 is because it firmly establishes Tom Holland as Spider-Man, and he is right. Spider-Man without a doubt going forward.
I agree with you there. Okay. I have a question in your top 5 here.
Okay.
You have Avengers Infinity War, which, of course, we've all been really, really high on recently. Why is it at number 4 when I was expecting it to maybe be at 3 or 2?
Because when I look at Avengers Infinity War, and as much as I loved it, I think one of the issues that's eventually going to come through with it is going to be rewatchability. Not only because of the length of the film, but because of the heaviness of the ending of that film.
Okay.
I'm having
heavy rewatchability
when
it comes out on video.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right. And it will. But I think as time goes on, you're talking a 2.5 hour movie. And sometimes when you have that kind of loses some of its rewatchability, because when you think about it, when it comes on cable, it's going to be a 3 to 3.5 hour movie on cable once you start adding in commercials and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and I look at my top three, I think, especially after seeing the Guardians of the Galaxy's role in Avengers Infinity War, they are such glue, have become such the glue characters of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I'm sorry, I can turn on the original Guardians of the Galaxy at any time and just sit back and enjoy it.
What is it about Black Panther that brings in the number 2 spot for you?
Okay, well, and there's a little bit of this for me because I bought it on digital on iTunes, so I've had it for about a week and I've rewatched it now. That movie is just so well done and so well acted and such a unique standout inside of the Marvel Universe. However, it still plays such a key factor because it's introducing Wakanda to the entire Marvel Universe. And while it's its own self-contained story, you still have the moment with Winter Soldier at the end. But just establishing somebody who's going to be a major player in the Marvel Cinematic Universe going forward, and Chadwick Boseman, T'Challa, and bringing all these great female characters in, whether it's Shuri or Okoye.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Of the three criteria, which one of the three is it that really catapulted this? And I'm not blaming it all. It's a good movie. Up to the number 2 spot.
It's the top 2. It's the enjoyment of the film and how rewatchable this film is. This film is going to be highly rewatchable.
Okay. Now, I'm not surprised by your number 1 pick. A lot of people would agree with this and still agree. In your opinion, why is Captain America Winter Soldier still at number 1?
Because I think it still is the most complete movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And when I say that is, I think from start to finish, it stays true to its story. And it stays on path with its story. You have some great character introductions in it with Sam Wilson's The Falcon getting involved in this. I think it's Chris Evans' best portrayal of Captain America in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I also think it is Scarlett Johansson's best portrayal of Black Widow in this Marvel Cinematic Universe. Nick Fury is great in this film. You add in Robert Redford. I'm a sucker for a good spy thriller type film. I think, like I said, this one feels like it's the most movie, if that makes any sense. I can go into this movie and I can feel like I'm watching a Marvel movie, but I'm also feel like I'm watching like maybe a 70s spy thriller.
Right.
And I think it's
good points.
I think it's so well done. And a couple other quick notes here that I just want to throw out. I have Captain America Civil War in my top 10. If nothing else, it brought us Spider-Man and Black Panther.
Yes, it's true.
For that, it gets automatically in top 10. And of course, Avengers at number 5. Avengers, if Avengers doesn't succeed, we don't get Phase 2, we don't get Phase 3. It could stop right at the end of Avengers. We just don't have that Thanos cutscene. And of course, Iron Man at number 8, the film that started it all, and really, you know, without Iron Man and Robert Downey Jr., we don't have any of this, period.
Mm-hmm.
And then lastly, because I know I'm going to get some grief from our good friend Adam O'Brien, Thor Ragnarok at 6. for my money, it's right up. It's either that or Guardians of the Galaxy for the most fun of these films. I think it's Chris Hemsworth's. I think it really knocked Chris Hemsworth up in the scale of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and led to him having an amazing role in Infinity War. And there's a lot of,
good bridge.
There's a lot of impactful things when you go back now and look at Ragnarok after watching Infinity War. The destruction of Mjolnir, Thor's hammer, everything that Thor goes through, Loki getting the Tesseract before Asgard is destroyed, Asgard being destroyed, obviously the final cut sequence where they encounter Thanos' ship at the end of Ragnarok. So I think that definitely merits, and I think Thor Ragnarok is like Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy. It's one of those films that's really outside of the Marvel box. They did something different and it worked for me.
Cool. All right. Well done with your list, man, and good explanations on why you've chosen the way they have been. Now, all those questions I ask you,
yeah,
I'm sure you're going to have some for me as well.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, my list. Okay, keep in mind I'm more of the enjoyment of the film and rewatchability of the film. I'm not as tuned in as to the MCU contributions, but I have kept that in mind. So at number 19, I have The Incredible Hulk. At 18, I have Thor the Dark World. At 17, I have Thor. At 16, I have Doctor Strange. At 15, I have Avengers Age of Ultron. At 14, I have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. At 13, I have Thor Ragnarok. At 12, I have Black Panther. At 11, I have Spider-Man Homecoming. At 10, I have Iron Man 2. At 9, I have Ant-Man. At 8, I have Iron Man. At 7, I have Captain America: Civil War. At 6, I have The Avengers. At 5, I have Captain America: The First Avenger. At 4, I have Iron Man 3. At 3, I have Guardians of the Galaxy. At 2, I have Avengers Infinity War. And just like you, at number 1, Captain America: The Winter Soldier.
Okay, well, I'm looking at your list, and my questions start really between why of your rankings 11, 12, and 13? Because I'm a little shocked that you have, especially Homecoming and Black Panther, so low on your list, and have Captain America: The First Avenger quite so high, and have them have both Homecoming and Black Panther below Iron Man 2. I think.
Okay, you need to remember how I picked one movie and asked you to explain it. That's what you need to do.
that's a joy of going second. But okay, let's start with Thor Ragnarok. Why do you have that at 13?
Do you remember what I said about Thor Ragnarok?
Basically, you thought the jokes got a little old. It was too jokey.
No, not necessarily the jokes. It was more about there was a little too much CG, in my opinion. Uh-huh. I did enjoy Chris Hemsworth as his comedic capabilities really came through with this. I felt a lot of the end battle scenes, and this is one of the things that I'm getting very nitpicky with these Marvel films, went on a little too long, but there was just way, in my opinion, way too much CG in that film, and I wish there was a little more, I guess, practical effects, or at least kind of edited a little bit differently to where it just didn't seem to go on and on. It is obviously important to the MCU universe, of course, specifically leading into Avengers Infinity War. But as I grade these as of right now, I'm doing it enjoyability, of course, and also rewatchability. And the films above that, I would put in a little more rewatchability at this point right now.
What about Black Panther at 12?
Black Panther, I love the film, but I'm not quite attached to it enough yet. I'm going to put a little caveat on that film. I think it could go up higher on my list. I just bought it on Blu-ray and digital today. I have not seen it since originally it was in the theater. I didn't buy it on digital last week when it became available. I usually wait for the physical copy to come out, and then I cash in the digital code that they usually come with. But so that one's on the hinge of going up a little bit higher because of how much I did enjoy it when I saw it in the theater. I only saw it in the theater twice. So my familiarity with it isn't as much as the other films are higher on the list. And that's the only reason why I have bumped that down.
Okay. And what about Homecoming at 11?
Homecoming, it's because of certain scenes going on too long when it comes to the action. It really, for me, it's not a big problem, but it is a problem for me. That end scene went way too long. The fairy scene went way too long. I would love to watch that film without having to necessarily watch all of those scenes because the character development is done so well. So my rewatchability, I'm still a little kind of sore on that part, I guess. So my rewatchability on Spider-Man Homecoming, even though Tom Holland is the perfect Spider-Man, my rewatchability on Homecoming right now is not right there.
No, I blame Iron Man 2 being above all those on you drinking Michael Moore's Kool-Aid, but that's another story. Okay, the next one I think a lot of people are going to bring up is the first of Captain America, the First Avenger at number 5.
Oh, man, when that movie came out, I fell in love with it. I'm a big fan of World War II films, and I absolutely loved the skinny Steve Rogers going through his trials and them seeing the kind of man that he is and the integrity that he is, you know, like specifically scenes like when, you know, he's, you know, saying I can do this all day with the bully before, you know, Bucky comes and helps him. And then the scene and the training when, you know, they're all trying to get the flag at the top of the pole and he looks down and flips the thing and it falls down. And I love that whole opening of that thing. And then my favorite Captain America look is when he puts on the outfit for the first time and he grabs the dancer's hat, you know, this has the A on it and puts it on. And his first insurrection into Nazi-occupied Germany when he jumps out of that plane with Stark flying it. I've loved that look. I did a costume of that look, and I love the characters in that. What's the name of his commandos? The Howling Commandos. Yeah. Love the Howling Commandos, and so that film is still to me very rewatchable. I love the Red Skull in that. It's just really, really well done. And you're if it has something to do with World War II, it's gonna get a little extra love from me. Yeah.
And I think we've covered your love of Iron Man 3 much lately on the show. So
yes, but I want to reiterate some things, you know, because you said some things that the reason why you don't like it are the same reasons why I do like it. This is where you really get the PTSD that Tony gets. And that's important, I think, for his character development. And also, it was a huge development between him and Pepper Potts. I had no problem with the Mandarin thing because I wasn't invested in the comics. And that didn't bother me at all. And I love the fact that it was a Shane Black film. And it also brought him and Rhodey together as, you know, these guys' friendship together and they work together. You know, I like the idea of the different suits that were battling the super beings. And I love the story with the kid. I thought that kid was fantastic. And Tony kind of having to start from the beginning. And you know, and the kid says, well, you're a mechanic, start building something. I love Iron Man 3. I just can put it in and watch it over and over and over again.
Just remember, Michael Morris hates Pepper Potts.
I know.
Okay, so let's briefly take your top three, starting with Guardians of the Galaxy in at number 3.
Guardians, of course, you know, just like yourself, if it's on, I'm watching it. And you're right. I liked your point about how it's almost the glue of the Avengers world because they're also the bridge of, you know, bringing, you know, space to Earth and what all the threats are happening outside of Earth and the other galaxies. And, you know, seeing that come to fruition in Avengers Infinity War just makes me even love the original Guardians of the Galaxy even more. And the introduction of all of their characters and gelling and getting back together or getting together for the first time. And it's just so much fun.
Yeah. And of course, Infinity War number two.
Yeah, man. Oh, so good. And this right now, in my mind, has so much rewatchability. If I had that video copy right now, I'd be watching it, you know, every other day right now, because I want to pull from so much stuff. And because there's just so much, even after three viewings, because you and I saw it for the third time together,
mm-hmm.
when you're up here in Atlanta. There's still so much to pull from that movie, so much stuff that we didn't even talk about on our special and that we're hoping to touch on later on with our segment that we'll talk about a little bit later. There's just so much to absorb from that film, and that's why, to me, it has such high rewatchability right now. And just all of these movies coming together you know, with this being, you know, the big act that we're all been waiting for, is just brilliant.
Yeah. And finally, where we agree, number one, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Still to date, and we talked about it on our countdown to Avengers Infinity War, it is the perfect superhero film of all superhero films, in my opinion, even above, you know, Dark Knight with Heath Ledger, you know. There's just something about this, whether, like you said, that you get this kind of cool, like, you know, spy thriller. But the thing that's interesting about it is that, yes, it has great introductions, you know, with Sam. And, of course, you know, Bucky coming back as the Winter Soldier. Also, great, great scenes with Samuel L. Jackson. But this is where you see... Steve Rogers really come to grips of mourning the loss of not a friend, but what he thought America and what he was fighting for, and what Hydra was doing, and how it was affecting everything, and how he's not necessarily fighting for the American way anymore. He's just fighting for the right way now.
Yeah, no. I agree. I mean, it's just, I agree with you. I think it is probably the perfect comic book.
And by the way, and your point about, you know, probably the best Black Widow. I mean, when you see them together, you know, escaping together and working together, definitely. She is wonderful in that film.
Yeah.
And I think that's the film, too, that they're going to look back on saying, you know, this is why she deserves her own film.
Yeah, which rumors are we're going to eventually see maybe in 2020. So fingers crossed. Well, on that note, Kevin, I only have one thing to say to you.
What's that?
On your left.
On your left. So do you want to tease, remind people what we're going to be doing again, I guess?
Yeah. Avengers? We kind of teased it on the vacation special, which is out now for you to listen to, is that we are going to do a new segment for the summertime where we're going to give everybody a chance to have therapy from the events of Avengers Infinity War. What Kevin and I have discovered is there is just so much in Infinity War, even though we did an almost 2-hour special covering Infinity War, there were still things we missed. So the doctors, Reitzel and Wagner, will be in, and we are going to take specific moments throughout the summer covering Infinity War and diving a little deeper into those moments. And we're also throwing it out to you, our listeners, to please drop us a message on Facebook, shoot us an email. If there's a scene or something about Infinity War that just really is sticking with you, let us know and we'll kind of dive deep into it. And a select few of you we might even ask to be on the segment with us.
And to expand on that, we're not the only ones that are going through therapy here. I think Dragon Con's going to have a panel on that as well, wanting to talk about it. But there's a Facebook page that I invited you and Norm to called Geek Therapy Infinity War. So look that up. It's a closed group. But they're talking all about spoilers and everything about the film and wanting to basically just have some nice fan therapy about it. And so that's what we're going to be doing as well on our show.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. That will be coming very, very soon here on the Culture Clash. Well, with that, Kevin, I'm feeling a little drained after our list. That was a lot of information to take in. But do we want to tell everybody else what's going on around the Fandom Podcast Network?
Yes, of course. Now, real quick on our list here. I have a feeling I was struggling with it up until about a half an hour before we did this show when I was finalizing my list. I had made a couple of changes, you know. I have a feeling, you know, and this is one of those lists where we're going to have to adjust it because of, you know, our opinions do change on certain things. And we were doing the Avengers Infinity War countdown. Our opinions had changed from when we originally saw it in the theater. So.
Plus, we have three more films coming in within the next year.
I know, right? Yes. All right. Get back to what's happening on the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you're listening to Culture Clash, our weekly fandom news show. But we also have Blood of Kings, our Highlander podcast that I co-host with our buddy Norm. And recently, we did a two-part episode on the Highlander animated series. We always love going back to that. And we usually cover about four episodes per those. So make sure you check that out. And we just recorded a two-part series looking back on Highlander Season 2. And we borrowed a wonderful idea from our Trek geek friends. See It or Skip It, Highlander Season 2. And the first part is we cover the Seacouver episodes. And the second part, we cover the Paris episodes. We also have Discoville, our podcast covering Star Trek Discovery and the Orville. Of course, we cover news from both of those shows, but right now we are currently doing a rewatch of Orville Season 1. Nice to know that they're both coming back in Season 2. Orville does have a release date now for the last week in December. But soon coming up, you're going to get episode 2. I think it's Command Decision, I think it was. I can't remember the name of the episode. And then we also have About a Girl coming out after that. And then the next episode. So Norm and I are going to be talking about that. And, of course, on Couch Potato Theater, those movies you love so much, when you're on the couch, you just can't get up to put in the Blu-ray or DVD, and you just end up watching them. We've had one of four looking back on the Mad Max series hosted by our friend Adam P. O'Brien, and I co-hosted with him on the first one, Mad Max, the 1979 classic that is out right now, and it's what he's calling the maximum couch potato theater, and we're going to be recording the second one coming soon, The Road Warrior, otherwise known as Mad Max 2 in Australia. Time Warp, 1985 of the movies. Part 1 is out. Part 2 is about to come out. Excited about that. Covering all the music and pop culture of 1985, but of course highlighting the films that were released in that year. And Part 2 will be covering April, May, and June, the beginning of the summer movie season there. We also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with hosts Tom, Brandon, and Chris talking about all things Alfred Hitchcock, the master of suspense. And coming soon, we have The End Zone, sooner than we think, I guess, where Kyle and I are going to be doing a kind of like, I guess, a free agency wrap-up slash draft wrap-up.
Yeah, kind of the off-season special.
Yeah, the off-season special. And also, brand new, coming soon, I'll be hosting, co-hosting here, a look back on the 80s hair metal called the Hair Metal Podcast.
Hair gel and hairspray will never be the same.
That's right.
Well, Kevin, before we close out, do you have some words of wisdom for the people this week?
Yes, one of my favorite lines, which I'll explain in just a moment, but of course I always have to say, may the force be with you, and of course live long and prosper. We recently finished watching Cobra Kai, and one of my favorite lines where Johnny has been lining up all of his new recruits, bunch of losers and nerds and geeks, and he realizes he's got some flinchers. And then so he says, Miss Robinson, line them up and unflinch this group, where everyone's going to take a punch to the face.
Do we have any bleeders out there?
Yeah, there's some blood. There's some blood.
Well, again, the Cobra Kai special is coming. As for me, I don't really have a quote this week. I'm still getting back into the groove from vacation. But I want to thank all of you for listening. And just remind everybody, as we close out this show, remember to enjoy your fandom. Thank you for listening. This is Culture Clash 86, and we are out of here.